All right, let's pray together. Dear Lord, we love you. We're grateful for you. God, right now, we ask that you would speak powerfully to our hearts, to our lives, whether we're here in the room or we're watching online. God, we ask that you would do what we ask every single week, and that is that you make it impossible for us to walk out of here the same way that we walked in. You're God, you're good, you love us. And so God, give us ears to hear what it is you desire for us to say, and then also the courage to be able to obey. Encourage those who need encouragement. Speak to those who need speaking to. Do your thing. In your name we pray. Amen. You guys can have a seat. I'm glad that you're here. Welcome. Welcome to Freedom. Welcome to the 1115. You ever had one of those moments where it's like a moment you didn't want to end? It's like you go on vacation. Some of you came out of spring break, so you've been on vacation or whatever. And you ever sat on the beach and decided you're never going back? You're never going back. You could be, you know, it could be somewhere great like Hawaii or somewhere around the world. I mean, shoot, you could be in Panama City and still say, I'm getting me a condo here. I'm not going back. Even better, like an all-inclusive place, because in Panama, you still got to go out to eat. When you go to an all-inclusive place, they just bring you food. You never have to say no to anything. So if you ever brought your kids and they're like, can I get this? Don't ask, just yes, yes. The answer is yes. Get five of them. One time we went on a cruise. This was years ago. This was like when Lexi was a baby. In perspective, Lexi is 23. And she was a little baby, like four or five, six months old, somewhere around there. And they charged us for her. And back then I was like, you know, if she was 6 months old, that means I would have been 22. So when you're 22 and your wife is 20 and you have a little baby, every dollar counts, like at a very high level. So they charged us full price for this little four or five, six month old. And so every time we would go to dinner, every single time we'd go to dinner, they would ask us all what we wanted to eat and stuff, and we'd order. And then they would get ready to walk away, and I'd be like, hold up, you didn't ask her. And they would look at me all crazy, and they're like, who? And I'm like, the baby. She wants a steak. Matter of fact, she wants two steaks. Whatever it is that I perceive to be the most expensive thing on the menu, I ordered her two of them. Every single meal. Because I'm like, if I had to pay for this kid to go, she's eating. You know what I mean? And but nonetheless, there's times where you go on these trips and you're like, I am never going back. I like it here. No responsibilities. You don't have to worry about anything. Sometimes this happens. You'll hear people, they'll say this to me. They'll say it on Instagram or somewhere. They'll send me a thing and be like, it's Tuesday, Pastor. And on Sunday, I decided I love the Lord, which I always love the Lord, but I even love people on Sunday. Like, I love life on Sunday. But man, Tuesday came and now I just love Jesus. I don't love people anymore, Pastor. We need to have church like every day, because if we had church every day, I'd love people every day. But because we don't have church every day, I don't love people very much anymore. That's what it is that they say. Sometimes we get in these moments that we really enjoy and we just try to stay in them. But not every moment is a moment that you're supposed to live in. Sometimes the moment that you're in is to prepare you for something that's coming. Matthew chapter 17, that's where we'll look now. It says this in chapter 17, verse 1. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. So it was like, we're going on a field trip. We're going up, hang out a little bit. It's going to be great. It says, then he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. This is not a normal day. This is not a normal trip up the mountain. This is different. This is better. This is scary, this is awesome, this is crazy, this is cool, this is all the things, whatever word it is you want to use there. And it says, just then, to make it even crazier, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, who had not been alive on the earth for many, many years. There's Moses and Elijah hanging out, talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. In other words, man, thank you for the invite. This is pretty incredible. That's what it is that he's saying. If you wish, I will put up three tiny houses, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Because in his mind, what he was thinking is, This is the greatest moment of my life. This is Peter talking. He's like, this is the greatest moment of my life. I'm never coming down off this mountain ever again. I'm putting up a little place for Moses to hang out, for Jesus to hang out, for Elijah to hang out. And we are just going to stay up here and experience this spiritual high for the rest of eternity. Like, this is what it is that life was supposed to be. This is the way that I want it to be. And he was trying to hold on to a spiritual high. Well, while he was still talking, it says in verse 5, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love. With him, talking about Jesus, with him I am well pleased. And then he says, so listen to him. Like, listen to that one. Listen to Jesus. Moses and Elijah, that's awesome. And it's really cool that you got to see it. But you need to listen to this particular person. His name is Jesus. God didn't affirm Peter's idea. What he did was he tried to redirect his attention just a little bit. And so what you need to know, this is going to help us to dive into this message pretty quickly. Sometimes God does things personally for us. God will do some things personally for you, right? Like, there's some things that you're going to experience throughout the course of your life, and that was just God being a good father, and he was hooking you up. You've seen it. If you're alive and you're older than like the age of 2, and if you're younger than the age of 2, you should be in Freedom Kids. But if you're older than the age of 2, you know this if you could explain it, but you don't know how to explain it because you're 2. So as a result, if you're older than that, you know what it's like for God to have been good to you at some point in your life. Right? Like, you've either experienced his favor, you've experienced his hand, the fact that you're breathing right now, you got clothes on your body, hopefully. I hope everybody does. You came here in a car, you live in a house, you live indoors. That's so amazing. That is God being good to you, because every good and perfect gift comes from above. It comes from God. Anything you have that's good, that came from God. Your house came from God. Your vacation house came from God. Your vacation came from God. Your car came from God. Your truck came from God. Your shoes came from God. The person you're sitting next to came from God. Like, God is the one who hooked us up, right? God has been good. Just trying to be abundantly clear, because sometimes we think we did it and God allowed us to work and God allowed us to do our thing, but ultimately he's the one who gets the glory. Anything that we have that's good, that came from God. God does some things personally for you. The disciples, in this case, Peter, James, John, those three, they get invited into a moment that not every single person there saw, right? Not everybody else was there. There was 12 disciples, but only 3 got to see this thing happen. And the reason that it happened for them was because God was trying to do something. He was trying to strengthen their faith just a little bit, because he knew that they were getting ready to need it. I don't know if you know this or not. I bet you do. I bet you've noticed that every time God has told you to take a step of faith, the moment that you took it, what it did was it built that faith muscle just enough so that now you have the ability and the faith to take whatever it is that the next step that God is asking you to take might be. So, for example, I remember like when we started the church, right before we started the church, there was like 20 of us, and everybody was married to each other. Not all 20 married in the same, not that, but, you know, 10 couples or so. And we had to raise $15,000. And I remember thinking, how in the world are we going to do this? $15,000 back then, it might as well have been $15 million, because we were all so young. We didn't have any money. We didn't have nothing. And we have faith, but we didn't have nothing else. We have faith and nothing else. And I remember when God did it, what happened inside of me was I started feeling more confident. I'm like, you know what? If God can do this, God can do anything. And then all of a sudden, a couple years later, we had to raise, you know, exponentially more than that. And you know what faith I leaned on whenever God told us that we needed to go to the next step? I leaned on the faith that God had built whenever we were obedient and God came through in previous days. So then what happens is God gives you enough faith to take this next step to where now it's still a step of faith, and it's still scary and it's still challenging. But if God says you got to raise $10 million, it's the same faith to raise $10 million as it was to raise $15,000. But if you had never raised the $15,000 because you were too scared to take the step, you wouldn't have the faith that you need in order to raise the $10 million. Does this make sense? Same thing's true with forgiveness. Same thing's true with just being kind. Same thing's true with being the person that God has called you to be. You've got to take some little tiny baby steps of faith if you want your faith to be able to grow. And God will do some things inside of you that are for you. But God's work is rarely only for us. So God will do great things for us, but when God does great things, it's rarely only for us. The moment that they had just experienced, it was preparing them for what it is that was getting ready to come. This was probably about somewhere in the neighborhood of like 6 to 9 months before Jesus was going to die on the cross and then be buried and then risen from the dead. So 6 to 9 month window. And what was getting ready to come in their life was, number one, for Peter, Peter was getting ready to be the guy that was preaching on this day called the day of Pentecost, where 3,000 people said yes to Jesus and were baptized at the same exact time. And the birth of the church had happened. I don't mean like the birth of freedom. I'm talking about the birth of the church that Freedom Church is still a part of thousands of years later. And so God used him to do it. So leadership opportunities and incredible mission-focused things to be able to go out and change the world. But suffering and everything else was coming right along with it. And what God was saying to Peter in that moment, whenever he interrupted him, whenever he was saying we could build a tiny house for Moses, a tiny house for Jesus, and a tiny house for Elijah, what God was saying is don't turn a moment into a monument, because if you do, you'll miss the assignment. Don't turn this moment into a monument. In other words, there's gonna be some times where you're on top of the mountain. You ever experience something good and you're like, man, it doesn't get any better than that. That could be true in your marriage. It could be true with your kids. It could be true in your job, with your finances, spiritually. Like you come to Freedom and you're like, that was the greatest worship experience I've ever been a part of. And the worship was so good and I was singing and it was so great and God was moving. God will do that for you, but he's doing that for you so that he can then do something through you. In other words, that moment wasn't just for you. It's because God wanted to do something else down the road. So what God is doing on this day is because he desires to do something in your life on that day. Matthew chapter 17, verse 9. They leave the top of the mountain. And it says, as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, this would be like the worst instruction ever, the worst thing that Jesus could have said in this particular moment. Don't tell anyone what it is that you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The reason I say it was like the worst thing they could have heard is because what do you want to do the moment you experience something like what it is that they had just experienced? You want to post it on Instagram. You want to make sure everybody sees it. You want to make sure everybody knows that you're there. You want to tell people about it because it was a pretty incredible deal to be like, Jesus was glowing and Moses was there and Elijah was there. Like it was crazy enough, nobody would have believed him anyway. But Jesus says, I don't want you to tell anybody about it until the day that I'm risen from the dead. Now keep that in mind because that's important. 6 to 9 months, again, 6 to 9 months before it is that Jesus was going to be risen from the dead. And when Jesus died, Peter, James, and John, here's the irony. The most important, incredible day that they had ever experienced in their life, the transfiguration of Jesus, Moses, Elijah's hanging out, it was nuts. 6 to months later, they had already forgotten. Because when Jesus was crucified on a cross, you want to know the last thing they were expecting? A resurrection. They had forgotten what Jesus had said. Jesus had just told them that I am going to die and then I'm going to be resurrected from the dead. But when Jesus died, they went into hiding. They weren't expecting anybody to be risen from the dead. How crazy is it that you can experience some big moment with God and then forget about it just weeks or months later? How many times do you and I have an encounter with God that marks us and changes us, and then in a matter of moments, it's like we forgot? We'll start saying stuff like, I don't know, God doesn't speak to me like he speaks to you. God doesn't do for me what he does for you. God doesn't move in my life like he does for you. God doesn't, God doesn't, God doesn't, God doesn't. And you know God's in heaven like, bro, I can tell you 35 things that I've done in your life in the last 35 minutes, and you have forgotten about every single one because things don't seem to be going your way. Verse 14. When they came to the crowd, they come down off the mountain. When they come to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly, and he often falls into the fire." That's unfortunate. "And he falls into the water." If you read other versions of this story and other gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those are called the gospels in the Bible, it makes a bigger deal about this kid, because some of you, I've heard you say, "My kid is like possessed by a demon." This kid was pretty close. But up on top of the mountain, where they had just experienced everything they had just experienced, there was glory. But down in the valley, there was need. Jesus had a way of always going wherever it is that there was need. It's one of the patterns that we see of Jesus's life. Check this out. Upper room. He goes from the upper room on top of Mount Zion down to the Garden of Gethsemane. He goes from the top of Mount Arbel, one of my favorite places in all of Israel, from the top of Mount Arbel down to the Sea of Galilee. He goes from up on the cross down to the grave. He goes from up in heaven down to earth. Why? Because Jesus always went from the top to the bottom so that we could go from the bottom to the top. That's the pattern that Jesus most often used. He would go from the top to the bottom so that you and I could go from the bottom to the top. We see it, Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. "Who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage." In other words, he was 100% man, 100% God. That's why they call him the God man. So 100% man, 100% God. But he didn't rely on his godness, nor did he use it to his advantage while he was down here on this earth. He did the opposite of what I would do, because if I was Jesus, I would have been the worst Jesus ever. I would have just done tricks just to do it. I would have been like, "Guys, watch this." That's what I would have constantly done over and over and over again. But that's not what Jesus did. Instead, he made himself nothing and took the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So he went from the top to the bottom so that you and I could go from the bottom to the top. That's what it is that Jesus did for us. We see this all the time, but we see it even in our own life. Like, for example, our church, we're 18 years old. I mean, we are an adult. We are an adult now. That's amazing, 18 years old. We have experienced the favor of God. We have seen God do incredible, incredible things over and over and over again. Lives have been changed. Addictions have been broken. Relationships have been restored. It has been mind-boggling to see what it is that God has done. I can scan the room throughout the course of this day, both at this worship experience, the two previous ones, and then the one that is still to come, and I can see people, I can see their face and be reminded of their story and know that had God not moved, you wouldn't be in this room and you probably wouldn't be sitting next to the person that you're sitting next to, because God has been good and God has done what only it is that God can do. But here's the tension. The tension is there's still more. Like, we're still praying for more. We're praying for more addictions to be broken. We're praying for more lives to be changed. We're praying for more people who are far from God to experience life in Christ. We want to continue to see God do what only it is that God can do. There are families that are not healed yet. There are lives that have not been changed yet. We cannot stay where we currently are because we're comfortable with how far we have come. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and Acworth and Kennesaw and Dallas and Cartersville and even Emerson and all the way to the ends of the earth." In other words, what God has done for us is just the foundation of what God is getting ready to do through us. So some of you, I hear people say this all the time, "I wish I could have been part of Freedom Church from the early days." We can't reverse time, but these are the early days of what God is getting ready to do in the days ahead. So it's just as good now as it was back then, because we're getting ready to experience something that is brand new. So as we get ready, for example, as we get ready to make this transition, I'll give you a little insider information. I'm going to wait to tell you the exact date that we are moving into the building, because I have trust issues with government employees. As a result, I will wait until there's about a 2-week window before I tell you, hey, in about 2 weeks, we will be making this transition. But all of that is supposed to happen within about the next 6 or 7 weeks, just to give you a frame of reference for where it is that we currently are. Now, that being said, there are 4 things I want you to really remember as we get ready to make this move. Number 1, it is not about preference, it's about purpose. It's not about preference, it's about purpose. When we make the move, things will look different. And some of you, that scares you, because I know you. I preach 4 times every Sunday, and within 10 seconds of being on the stage, I know whether you're here or not. Say, how do you know? Because you sit in the same spot every single week. Like, you might be 1 chair over or 1 row forward or backward, but generally speaking, you sit in the exact same place. You pull onto the parking lot the exact same way. You park, generally speaking, in the same area, and you leave the same way you came in. We are creatures of habit. But when we get ready to make this move, guess what? You won't be sitting in the same spot. I mean, if you do, you are now a Freedom Kids Dream Team member, because this is going to be the auditorium just for kids on Sunday mornings, just for elementary. It's going to be incredible what it is that enables us to be able to do to reach more families. Your seat's going to change. How you enter is going to change. How you exit is going to change. Where you park is going to change. There will be people who are here now that will not make the move. And this is why you'll say, it's different. It's different. Guess what? It will be different. But the reason that is going to be different is because of the fact, number 2, that it is not about comfort, it's about calling. It's not about comfort, it's about calling. If comfort is the goal, you will always stay the same. But if calling is the goal, then you're not afraid to change. So for example, probably about, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, I decided I was gonna stop being fat. I just decided I'd look at pictures of myself online, they would post them, and I'm like, who is that fat man? And I'm like, oh God, that is me. I am the fat man. And then I got in like the best, I mean, I got in the best shape of my life by far. I mean, it wasn't, people are like, best shape since high school? No, forget that. It was the best shape of my life by far, hands down, not close. It was great. You know what happened? I liked it, and then I took my foot off the gas a little bit. And then the other week, I looked at a picture again, and I said, who is the fat man? And I said, oh, dear God, I am approaching being that same person I was 5 years ago, 6 years, I don't know how many years ago it was. I feel like it's been a minute. So about 3 weeks ago, I decided, you know what? Forget comfort. Forget it. I don't care about comfort anymore. I got to get back on. I know how to do it. I've done it before. I'll do it again. And after I preach today, 4th worship experience, instead of going home and taking a nap, I'm going to the gym. Because my schedule's kind of weird this week, so I might miss a day. So I can't miss a day, so I got to do it today to make up for it. Here's my point. Everybody wants to get in shape. The easiest time to get in shape is the day before it's supposed to start. Have you ever been dead set on starting that diet tomorrow? And then all of a sudden tomorrow turns into today. And you're like, dang it, I'll start tomorrow. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. And then tomorrow never shows up because it's always today. And you know how it is when you decide you're going to eat healthy, what happens? People be bringing brownies to the office. Cupcakes randomly show up at your door. People make you a cake. It's not even your birthday. You're like, Pastor, I made you 9 cakes. If you're not willing to abandon comfort and replace it with calling, you'll always talk about it instead of being about it. It's true in everything in life. I mentioned last week, I talked about sports and how I told that story about the baseball coach who was telling those kids, y'all remember the story? The baseball coach, he was sitting down with his team. They were like 7 years old. And he said, some of you, I can't believe you don't remember this story. I just told it last Sunday. He sat down with that whole baseball team. And he's sitting there talking to those little kids. And he's like, boys, when you walk onto the field, there's two kinds of players or two kinds of people. There's winners and there's losers. He goes, and if your dad tells you that it's not about winning or losing, but it's only about whether you had fun and how, whether or not you enjoyed playing the game. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, your dad is a loser. But listen, listen, that's good life advice. That's good life advice. Because nothing of value comes easy. If it's valuable, it's gonna be hard to get. That's why it's valuable. It's hard to have a great relationship. It's hard to have a great marriage. It's hard to fulfill the calling that God has given you because there's so many distractions that are coming at you. And so many times where it's a lot easier to just embrace comfort instead of calling. But that's not who we are. We know that it's not about preference, that it's about purpose. We know it's not about comfort, it's about calling. And we also know this, number three, as we get ready to make this transition, it's not arrival, it's assignment. This is the biggest thing, this is what I wanna make sure everybody knows, so I'm gonna say it every week until we make the move, and then I'm gonna say it for several weeks afterwards. That building does not mean we've arrived. That building is not the end, that building is the new beginning. It's not the ending point or the finish line. It's the brand new starting line. That's what it is. It is our brand new, very awesome, temporary facility that we will use until we outgrow it too, and then God opens other doors for us to continue to move forward. That's what it is that it's going to be. Don't settle. Don't settle for a monument when God is trying to instigate a movement in your life. Don't chase the high thinking that it's all about you. When God brings you on top of the mountain because he desires to do something through you down in the valley. Number four, and if it's not four, number next. It's not what we do for God, it's what God has done for us. It's not what we do for God, it's what God has done for us. Why do we do all this? You know, I don't do anything I do in order to earn the approval of God. I used to, until I found out that was a lost cause. I do everything I do because I already have the approval of God. I grew up thinking, I heard this all my life. People say, you gotta live your life. This is it. You gotta live your life in such a way that when you get to the very end and you stand before God, God will look to you and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I'm like, man, that's gonna be hard to do. And then I realized that's not true. That if you're a follower of Jesus, when you stand before God, he will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Because it's not about what you did for God, it's about what God did through Christ for you. So when God sees me, he sees me as perfect. Not according to the day that I've had. When God sees you, he sees you as perfect, not according to the day that you've had or the week that you've had or the month that you've had, the year that you've had, et cetera, et cetera. We are, as followers of Christ, if you are, the righteousness of God. When you said yes to Jesus, your sin was placed on him, his righteousness was placed on you. So we don't gotta do anything. We get to do what it is that God has called us to do. I don't got to, I get to. I don't gotta build this building. I get to be a part of helping build this building. I don't gotta live my life for Jesus. I get to live my life for Jesus. I don't gotta go to church, I get to. I don't gotta tithe, I get to. I don't gotta obey, I get to. Because God has been good to me. And when the motivation flips, it changes everything about you. Because it's no longer obligation, now it's opportunity. And then you realize you don't have an obligation-filled life, you have an opportunity-filled life. And I don't know how you are, I like opportunities more than obligations. My whole life now is an opportunity to be able to do what God has called me to do. And the same is true for every follower of Christ. Do me a favor, stand to your feet all over the room. I'm gonna pray for you. I'm gonna pray for you because I believe in you and I believe that God has a special plan for you. And I'm gonna pray that you'll fulfill it and that together, all of us will come together to do whatever it is that God has called us to, because we're getting ready to walk into a brand new beginning and it's gonna be great. And I cannot wait. I can't wait to be able to like have a voice on Monday and Tuesday. That's gonna be good. I'm excited about that. Right now I talk more on Sunday than I do for like a whole week combined. Then I gotta go to baseball and try to cheer. You know, I don't even have no words because my voice doesn't work. What God has for us is incredible. And I don't just mean as a church, I mean for you individually. If you're still breathing, God's still working. Dear Lord, I love you. Grateful for you. And I pray right now for every person that's here today. Lord, I pray your blessing over their life. Whether that blessing needs to be spiritual, God, for all of us, it does. For some of us, it also needs to be physical, it needs to be mental, it needs to be emotional, it needs to be all these different things. God, I pray that you would do that. Meet every single need that needs to be met today. For those that need a special touch from you, I pray that you would give it to them right here, right now. Thank you in advance for what you are going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.